Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Mercury FDI Talks. Today it's a pleasure and an honor to have with us Flori Leiser, the CEO of Corporate Council on Africa, of course. Corporate Council on Africa is the leading US-based business association which connects interest with Africa, the whole continent. Flori, it's a pleasure to have you once again with us.
Thank you, Marius. It's good to be here again.
We're going to start from go deep into details from the beginning and ask you any details about the upcoming event, the US-Africa Business Summit, which takes place in Angola next year. So if you can give us as much details as you can.
First of all, we are excited that we are holding CCA's annual US-Africa Business Summit. It is our signature event that we do annually, bringing together African heads of state, ministers from across the continent representing various sectors of growth, from health to energy, infrastructure, with U.S. and African CEOs in private sector. We bring together about 1,500 people, as well in that are key U.S. government officials. And we've been very pleased to have a strong participation both from the continent and the U.S. We were delighted amongst the seven African heads of state that we had at our most recent U.S.-Africa Business Summit in Dallas, Texas this May, was President Lourenco of Angola. And he had participated in previous meetings, but this was the first time that he had attended our summit. And he and his team were really impressed and asked to speak with myself and members of my board, and offered to have Angola host the next US-Africa Business Summit in Luanda in 2025. And so just last week, on Friday, he actually announced the dates for the summit. They'll be June 23rd. And we want to invite all of your listeners and readers to come and join us in Luanda. It will be the first opportunity, I would say, for a new U.S. administration, whoever that may be, new leadership in the African Union. There'll be a new chairperson of the African Union Secretariat, but it will also be President Lourenco and Angola serving as the chair of the African Union next year. So celebrating their 50th anniversary of their independence, celebrating Angola's leadership on the continent, reflected in their chairmanship of the African Union, and presenting an opportunity to bring together new African leadership with new U.S. leadership is going to be really, really, special for this particular summit that we'll have in June of 2025.
We can't wait. Business executives, can they join the event? Can they register somewhere to join as well?
Our website, which will have a registration link, will be up soon. We're working on that website closely with our Angolan partners. We have to make sure it's available in both English and Portuguese, as well as those who may want to register in French. So give us a little bit of time, but before the end of the year, we will have the website up. Registration will be open, and we more than welcome both U.S. and African companies to come and join us at the summit. It creates very special opportunities for them to come together, to meet with their counterparts. And every year, we're very excited to hear about deals that have come out of previous summits, but also to be a platform for the signing of new deals and partnerships. And so this past year in Dallas, there was, in fact, a signing between the U.S. Export-Import Bank of a loan that will go for building a solar project, a major solar project in Angola, $900 million deal. And so we look forward to being that platform where both government and private sector can come together and consummate deals that they've been working on, hopefully since the last summit. We're happy to be that place where we can shine a spotlight, Marios, on the opportunities in Africa. I think sometimes the narrative in the U.S. about investing in Africa is really not aligned with the true opportunities that are there. Yes, there are risks in investing anywhere in the world. But sometimes I believe that in the U.S., there may be a perception of risk in Africa and doing business there and investing there that is not accurate. And so we also want to use the summit as an opportunity for people to see what Africa has to offer and to explore the opportunities as well as address the challenges. Because again, there are challenges anywhere you go to invest in the world. And yes, there are some in Africa. There may be particular countries where the risk is higher, but there are many where the risk is lower and the return on investment in Africa is high. So, you know, we encourage all to see the summit as that opportunity. And then one other thing that I love to talk about is the fact that there are no major issues that the world faces globally, whether it is climate change or meeting SDGs or addressing health challenges like the COVID-19 pandemic. Yep. There's no issue that we have globally where we shouldn't be looking at Africa as part of that solution. And we will not meet any of those global goals, whether it's for, you know, to address global warming or to make sure that populations are healthy and productive. If you don't address it in Africa, they are the continent that has the largest youth bulge, the fastest growing demographics globally.
Correct.
In terms of population, a very fast growing middle class. You know, Africa is the place where we will solve the world's challenges and issues. But it's also the place where companies and businesses will expand. And so for the U.S., we have a lot to offer Africa as well. Our companies are very keen in the sectors that are most important in Africa.
That was actually a question that I was waiting to ask. Do you think the U.S. can do more in Africa? I mean, are they a bit behind when it comes to investing in Africa?
You know, I say that there are two ways to look at this. I hear people who say, oh, where are the American companies? Where is the U.S. in Africa? And I can tell you honestly that we have many members of Corporate Council on Africa who have been in Africa for a long time. Whether you're talking about Coca-Cola, or you're talking about Procter & Gamble, or you're talking about Pfizer, ExxonMobil, Chevron, all the energy companies. But then even more recently, some of our members like Amazon and Google are there as well, working in the digital sector. Companies that are in financing, Visa and Standard Bank and MasterCard and so many others that are CCA members are in Africa. So one way to look at it is that we are there, but we need to do more. And we need to bring more U.S. businesses to Africa, especially some of the smaller companies and the smaller businesses.
SMEs.
And you know, diaspora-owned, women-owned, minority-owned businesses that really can work well with a lot of the smaller businesses in Africa. And so our members are both multinationals as well as SMEs. And they are, as I said, both U.S. and African companies. So, yes, the U.S. could do more there. We are there. And CCA's goal is to facilitate the kinds of partnerships to enhance the business environment, the enabling environment, working with the African governments to make sure the regulatory environment, the laws, the commercial framework for doing business there is one that is inviting and enabling for U.S. companies. And so, again, we don't say it's perfect yet. It's not. but we do say that there's a lot of interest, yeah, both on the African side and on the U.S. side, to explore that. And one of the ways I'm really excited about this, President Biden, as you know, was going to make a trip to Angola in October.
Now it's for December, right?
Hurricane, he was not able to go, but we were really pleased to see that the White House announced the rescheduling of the trip. It's now the first week of December, and CCA will be there. We'll be hosting at the request of some of our partners in the U.S. government. We'll be hosting a celebratory reception there at the end of what they are calling a Libido Corridor Summit, which will include heads of state from other countries that have an interest in the Libido Corridor. Zambia, DRC, and even Tanzania now has been pulled into that. And so we're looking forward to hosting ministers who will be there with their heads of state, private sector from all of those countries in the region, and our own U.S. companies, a number of which were on their way to Luanda in October when, unfortunately, the trip was postponed, not canceled.
Unfortunately.
And so we're very much looking forward to that. And we think that it signals for the next administration, whoever is in the White House, that Africa is an important and strategic partner of the United States. And so this will be President Biden's first trip in as president. He has been to the continent before, but first trip as president. And it will be historic. It will be the first sitting president of the United States who has ever visited Angola. So, yeah, so it's a very special trip. And we're very, very much hoping that notwithstanding whatever may happen in the upcoming U.S. elections, everybody's excited about that and focused on that. But we have to remember that Africa is a strategic partner of the United States. It doesn't matter whether it's a Republican or a Democrat in the White House. You know, Africa has to stay strategic. And just like other regions of the world, we continue to engage with them regardless of who is in leadership in the U.S. administration. That's what we're going to do. And CCA, as a nonpartisan organization, we are looking forward to working with those in the White House and ensuring that Africa stays at the forefront of what they do. And we understand there's, you know, there are teams that are already looking at how to make sure we stay engaged with Africa in the coming years. Again, we're excited about the opportunities, not only in Angola, because the summit is not only about Angola, it's really about
Angola,
the continent and the opportunities on the continent. Marios, can I mention something that I haven't mentioned yet, which is the African Continental Free Trade Area? Now, this is, you know, it was just launched about a year or so ago. It is coming into fruition. You have 54 of 55 countries have signed on to the AFCFTA. It is creating the largest free trade area globally, and many of the
that's in terms of population, correct?
Yes, yes. Yeah. But it's not just the population. I mean, I think that you know, across 54 countries. I mean, if you look at the EU, that's what 27.
27
right?
countries.
So the
correct.
Number of countries, the magnitude of what is coming together. And it is important for the Africans in terms of enhancing intra-African trade, but it's also important in positioning the Africans for global trade, including with partners like the United States, because now companies can say, okay, I don't have to choose which of the 54 countries I go to. I can invest in one country and have access to the entire continental market of Africa. And, you know, it represents, I think, 1.3 billion people, and it's going to be $3.4 trillion in combined GDP. So AFCFTA, its implementation and the work I know that CCA is doing with the U.S., we've been working with Prosper Africa, trying to make sure that U.S. companies are educated about what AFCFTA is about. What do the various protocols mean? And last year in Addis Ababa, after the heads of state adopted the digital trade protocol, the very next day, CCA held a session where we pulled in people to begin educating them about what that digital trade protocol does. And again, it's the work that's being done under the AFCFTA is not only beneficial to the Africans, but it's also beneficial to their partners and will allow them to be more competitive in regional and global value chains, which is a very, very important. Look at the Lobito Corridor, you look at many of the countries, not only in that region, but across Africa, who have the critical minerals that are needed for electric vehicles, for batteries, for, you know, all of, you know, that particular value chain, automotive value chain. And the Africans really can't be left out. They're the ones who have the lithium and the cobalt, et cetera. So this is something that's very important. And it's also one of the issues that CCA focuses on and on our at our summit in terms of encouraging investment into value-added production and manufacturing on the continent and taking advantage of a more liberal environment, a reduction of red tape, et cetera, on the continent. This is a great time for companies to be looking at investing in manufacturing in Africa.
Very nice. Very nice. The corridor, let's stay a bit on that. The USA it has a lot of interest in this project.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Well, so the Lobito Corridor will be, it is both a rail project, but it is providing the logistics all the way to the ports that will allow countries like Angola, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Zambia and Tanzania to move their goods, not just the minerals in and out of the country, but also to create these corridors where agriculture, for example, which is very important across almost all the African countries, agriculture is really critical. They have millions of farmers in there. But also to develop the agribusiness value chains, because you know you may have the fruits and the vegetables, but you also want to have the processing of those fruits and vegetables,
of course,
and to be able to supply to the African continent, but also to others, including the United States, exporting, for example, to the U.S. under AGOA, the African Growth and Opportunity Act, which allows Africans to ship pretty much all their products duty-free and quota-free into the U.S. And I've been, as you know, a long-time advocate of, supporter of, and helping to implement, when I was in government, the African Growth and Opportunity Act. And this, as I said, is just a really great time for people to look at that, because AGOA will be expiring in September of 2025. We are pushing, there's a whole coalition of us and a newly launched AGOA coalition that are pushing to have Congress extend and renew AGOA as soon as possible, maybe even as soon as during the lame duck session, and to extend it for as long as possible, a minimum of 10 years. Some of us are saying, why not 16 years? and to to make sure that we can continue that partnership. It is the cornerstone of the U.S. economic relationship with Africa.
It is.
And
it is.
So it's very important to renew now and not wait until the fall of September of 2025. So that's also important. And again, this is very much linked also Africa's production of value-added products, because that is really the focus of AGOA. It was never meant to enhance and support necessarily raw commodities coming here. It was really giving the Africans a competitive advantage in the U.S. market for their value-added products. And so it is working, but there is a lot more that could be done, a lot more countries that should be benefiting from it, and more sectors that should be benefiting from it. But it has certainly created jobs on both sides of the Atlantic. It's been beneficial both for Africans and for the United States, for U.S. companies and buyers, as well as the suppliers and producers on the African side. So it's a great partnership, and we really do have to encourage the U.S. Congress to move forward and renew AGOA.
Been a lot. You have a lot of experience in the government sector, of course, and also through CCA. So, what is your recommendation to? Of course, we need to speak also to African companies and African governments. How will they be able to attract these U.S. investors and U.S. partnerships that they need? What's your recommendation for this?
Okay, so I think there are a number of things we need to. First of all, we need to be clear about some of the key sectors. And the Africans have identified some key sectors and value chains that are important to them. Obviously, agribusiness is one of them. ICT and digital is important.
Okay.
Health.
Mm-hmm. Fintech as well, right? Fintech as well is growing as well.
Yes, fintech. Yes, that's right. Health, in terms of manufacturing, both pharmaceutical products as well as medical equipment, energy and renewables. I mean, there are huge finds of oil and gas in Africa. The Africans have a deficit in terms of power and access to electricity. And we have to find ways both to advance climate resilient ways, green energy, solar. There's a lot of opportunity in solar, in wind, in Africa. So energy and renewables. But we also have to make sure that the Africans get the investment into gas. In particular, gas is the transition for energy that has to be developed. And we know that the developed countries have some issues around fossil fuels, and totally understandable, but we have to look at gas as really important. Gas will also help with clean cooking in Africa. It will make it safer for Africans who currently use, especially women who use coal and firewood. So gas is that transition product that really needs to be developed. And you asked about recommendations. And in all of those key sectors, agriculture and agribusiness, energy, health, technology, ICT, and digital, what we need are investments into that. And I think that what we're seeing now, for example, the Development Finance Corporation, DFC, has really invested into Africa, perhaps more than any other region under this administration. The Export-Import Bank has done incredible amount of work in Africa in terms of providing the financing that's needed. USTDA is, and there's none that beat USTDA in terms of doing feasibility studies. And we're working with USTDA on a series of workshops in the health area, trying to look at convergence of the regulatory environment in health. So what I'm saying is, you know, Prosper Africa and all the U.S. government agencies that work under it are doing an incredible amount of work to facilitate new investments and to support existing investments on the continent. this is very important. And I think the other thing is working with key organizations on the continent who can help to mitigate some of the risks. So the African Development Bank, the Afrexim Bank, which is doing incredible things as well, and Africa 50 are all organizations and institutions on the continent, which in collaboration with our own institutions in the U.S., DFC, Exim Bank, et cetera, and then the private sector, all the private banks, Citibank and Standard Bank and, you know, so many of the banks that are ABSA and so forth, that are Equity Bank and so forth, that are investing into the key sectors in Africa. And that, I think, Marios, is really the key. Partnerships, public-private U.S.-Africa partnerships that provide the kind of financing that's needed, and which also helps both in the early stages of project development, as well as taking them all the way through to the implementation of those projects. I think that is really the key. And CCA, as I said, has been working in this area for decades. We hope to continue, we plan, not just hope, but we plan to continue to work with all of these various partners, the African governments, the African institutions that I mentioned, like Afrexim Bank, Africa 50, African Development Bank, the other international institutions, World Bank, IFC, we have great relationships with them, as well as with the U.S. government, and last but not least, the private sector, because gotcha. Without the private sector, of course, they're really, you know, all the other framework and institutions can be there as the support, but the private sector is so critical. So we have to look at what are the ways that we can support the African private sector and the U.S. private sector and bring them into partnership with the financing institutions. And one area I haven't mentioned that I think is also important are the institutional investors, you know, the pension funds, sovereign wealth funds. There's a lot that's happening in that area now that's really exciting. And we're really pleased that at the U.S.-Africa Business Summit for the last 2 or 3 years, the one we did in Morocco in 22, Botswana in 2023, Dallas in 2024, we have had U.S. institutional investors and African fund managers that have come and been a part of the summit. And they also play a key role in providing the kind of financing and capital, both debt and equity, that are needed to advance key infrastructure projects across the continent, large projects in all the key sectors, not just, you know, roads and airports, but health infrastructure, ICT infrastructure. These are all important. And the financing institutions that have to be strong also in Africa. This is also very key. So those are, you know, again, the recommendations that we have. We also encourage, we would love to have new members, both U.S. and African companies, join us. That's one of the things we would advise you, join us, become a member of CCA, and let us, CCA, support you in your expansion of your business on the African continent. It is the place to be. This is the time to be there. And you have partners in CSNR and CCA who can help you at this good time and in that great place.
Perfect. Excellent. Flori, it's like I can listen to you for hours, but unfortunately we are in the last question already. So the last one, to summarize everything, like a final message from you for, of course, the summit, the potential of Africa and the potential.
Well, first of all, as I said earlier, Africa is the continent that has to be a partner with other global partners in addressing the key challenges that the world faces today. And without Africa, we will not resolve any of those issues. Africa also poses great opportunities for investment, for trade, for diversification of supply chains globally. You know, post-COVID, I think people have been looking to Africa as some place that can provide some of the resilience that those supply chains need. We saw what happened during COVID, but Africa and investing in Africa's manufacturing in those key sectors and supply chains is going to be critical to providing the global markets with the products that it needs, especially as we develop things like electric vehicles, for example. We need Africa to be a part of that. So one message for sure is look to Africa for investing in the key sectors that drive global growth. For the U.S., Africa is a key and strategic partner. It needs to continue to be that. We held a U.S. Africa Leaders Summit in 2022. It was 8 years before that the last U.S. Africa Leaders Summit had been held under President Obama. We had the one that President Biden did in 2022. Okay. One major recommendation that CCA and our members are making is that there be an announcement early on of U.S. Africa Leaders Summit, to have it every 2 years or maybe every 3 years. And then regardless of who is in the White House, we should continue to have those U.S. Africa Leaders Summit. We meet regularly with the G20, the G7, the APEC countries, the Summit of the Americas. Yeah. And it doesn't matter who's leading in the U.S. administration. We should take the same approach, to Africa. And that's important. And then, of course, Angola in its leadership role this coming year and celebrating the 50th anniversary of its independence. Angola is doing a lot of the right things. It has many opportunities there, but also across the region and setting, I think, a standard and an example that really is reflected across the continent. So our summit, the U.S. Africa Business Summit, being held June 23rd to 27th in Luanda, is not only an opportunity to look at Luanda, to look at Angola and the opportunities there, but it's also an important time to bring together new U.S. leadership with new African leadership to look at how we can partner together to enhance the U.S.-Africa economic relationship. So Perfect. We look forward to hosting you there. We invite, again, all your readers and listeners to come and be with us in Luanda in June of next year. And thank you Perfect. So much for having me here.
Perfect. Thank you so much, LaFleurie, for being here. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. We totally support your work. We promote business between Africa and the U.S. And we continue to do it, and we will do it also for the summit. And we hope to be there as well to cover it.
Absolutely. We welcome you to be there and partner with us. We absolutely Perfect. Look forward to it. And I think you have something that's coming out in January of this year, of 2025, that will also be reporting on Angola. We look forward to seeing that. Yes, absolutely.
We will publish new report that will be on Angola. Highlighting Angola, of course, as the host country and publishing in the Washington Times.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Perfect. We're happy to be a part of that messaging.
Thank you, Florie. Have a great day.
To Mario. Bye-bye.